tree day. The dragon roar of a chainsaw fires up. A tree truck is parked outside, and three guys with gloves on get ready to change my life. My alarm clock chimes weakly under the screaming growls outside my window. The giant grandmother spruce that I have listened to and loved since I was born is coming down. It's green and healthy, but its roots are clogging the plumbing next door. If it were mine, I'd strap myself to it. But it's not. It belongs to a lady who lives alone and is afraid of trees buckling her brickwork patio and falling on her roof. I think she just wants to live longer than the tree. I know the tree better than I know her, and I've lived next door for 14 years. They start by trimming off branches bottom to top. One guy, who looks like he lives in trees, shimmies up. He leans back into the wide leather belt holding him away from the tree, ripcords the chainsaw, and drops bountiful fanned boughs. I'm supposed to be eating my breakfast, but today, shreddies have the texture of bark. I sip my juice, thinking how oranges live on trees susceptible to frost and saws. Then I try an apple slice, and my eyes well up. It's murder. I'd asked to stay home from school, but I'm not sure I can watch. As I pull the gate closed, a squirrel attacks the guy up the tree. His chainsaw whines as the critter comes in for round two, but the guy cuts it away with his elbow. The squirrel bounces onto another branch destined for destruction. I smile. Creatures, unite! I breathe in the smell of the boughs. They're full of special hormones that make you feel good. I saw that on a nature show. Different trees have different healthy hormones. My tree's parting gift. The next moment, I have to hold my breath. Chainsaw gas pollutes the fragrant sacrifice. It makes me lightheaded. The saw drowns out the chittering of the squirrel. In class, I feel draggy. I keep drawing her, the grandmother tree, in language arts. She was there before any of us, except maybe that crabby old woman next door, whose yard will now open wide to our backyard. No more privacy, no more shade, no more birds. I think about the sticky cones I've collected for crafts and wreaths, and before that, play food with my little sister Stella, and my cheeks get wet in math. My teacher excuses me to go to the washroom. Instead, I sneak outside and sob against the red-brown brick wall of the school facing the parking lot. When I stop with a shuddering sigh, I still hear the chainsaw squeal two blocks away. What's wrong? It's Daryl, the kid who plays bagpipes. He's never in class. He wanders the halls doing odd jobs for teachers. Gifted, I've heard Mum say. But I wonder how Daryl is gifted. I've never even heard him talk to a kid before. My tree is falling down? Yeah. What kind is it? A spruce? I don't say. It makes these huge, long cones. It has a squirrel in it and birds. Or trees are sacred. Lives depend on them. I have a forest of them in my sketchbooks. Daryl listens like he hears me say it all anyway. Then he says, "It's a Husqvarna." He spells it for me. Husqvarna. It's a superior brand of chainsaw. This kid has pitch. He guides me away from the school ground without being seen by the office staff. We use the back alleys, then through the corner park, and get to my house as the lumberjack guys stop for a coffee break. They actually wear red plaid shirts. But the tree, she is bare of her branches, a thick, naked length of footholds to her crown. A birdhouse put up by Dad a long time ago sprawls broken in peeling pieces on our side of the fence. I painted that birdhouse red and green when I was in play school. I try to fit the pieces back together, but they've rotted. Daryl, bagpipe guy, whistles. I've never heard anyone whistle like that. There's a tune, sad, but somehow triumphant. Louie plunks on the patio, head on paws, but eyes and ears alert like Daryl's the Pied Piper. And the lumberjacks, smoking with one side of their orange ear mufflers hanging down, take both sides off to listen. My mum comes outside. Even the old lady next door stumps out in her house dress to her porch to hear it. A goodbye song for the tree. We all stare at the tree, tall and alive, yet stripped of green. Daryl is giving her a funeral. Wish I brought my pipes, Daryl says to the silence when he is done. There is a hush, even from the wind. That was amazing, I say in a small voice. He looks up to the squirrel, now silent, front paws in prayer, high in the tree. It's how I practice, he says. On the bagpipes, you have to improvise. There are only 9 notes. It didn't sound like only 9. Well, that's because I embellish. Do you ever? I'm going to be in the army as soon as they'll take me. Why the army? For the funerals. I specialize in funeral anthems. That was an army song? No, that was original. For you. For her. It's called Tree Day. Only 9 notes. I think about having only 9 colors. I couldn't cope. It would be crippling. The lumberjacks rise from their thermoses of probably black coffee and molasses, ready for the final operation. The skinny guy climbs up to the top of the crown. The squirrel, a witness on the tip of the tree, barks desperately. We all duck for cover when the crown falls. It lands bigger on the ground than it appears from below. It's studded with mini green cones, the new tender growth. I feel a sob thrusting up my throat. Mum says, I called the school. I told them it's a tree day. Daryl and I nod. Daryl, I told them you were helping Cassie. Everyone knows who Daryl is. I thought he only talks to adults because kids aren't smart enough. But also, at school assemblies, he wears kilts. Now I know why. He plays bagpipes at school assemblies because it's his vocation. Auntie Magda has a vocation too, but not like the nuns. Auntie Magda wants boyfriends, a new one every so often, but not a husband. She says she'd much rather concentrate on her outfits to go out for dinner than put on an apron and cook meals for someone else. Like her, Daryl's devoted to his vocation, and he wants the look, too. The sergeant stripes, the medals, the hat. He's already got the kilt. And his 9 lonely notes. Daryl would rather play music for the dead than talk to girls or play sports. Stella still plays piano. I was allowed to quit when she started. Stella doesn't mind the lonely hours practicing. She, like Daryl, likes playing for us and gives concerts for Louie, who gets a dog cookie after each one. Me, I must be like Auntie Magda because I make my art for myself. The men in red saw sections of the tall trunk on the ground. The nimble one up there works quickly. The squirrel chitters on, pissed right off. Daryl stays right beside me. He doesn't take his eyes off the tree. The climber guy gets closer to the ground and he waves to us. He doesn't seem concerned that the great hunks of tree fall close to the fence or his co-workers. Then he flies us a frisbee. It's a tree cookie from the middle, the thickest part of the trunk. I pick it up off the grass and smell the hormones up close. One edge is a bit ragged. I can sand it off later. We move to the shade and count the rings. They're called dendrochronology rings, Daryl says. He gets 59 and I get 61. We're not sure if we're supposed to count the xylem or the phloem. You should bring it to science and ask, says Daryl. I wonder how Daryl even knows what's going on in science class because he's never there. Maybe he does school by correspondence or he's already done the work for the year. Probably the teachers give him special projects. The workers roll out a red machine on wheels. It grinds the stump to dust, Daryl says. Do you go to many tree days? Actually, I do. I practice my anthems. No one hears usually because of the chainsaw, the shredder, or the stump grinder. How does he block out the sound and the sadness? His brain must have special filters. The soldiers at Daryl's army funerals probably won't be 59 or 61 years old like the grandmother tree, but they'll have an original anthem only for them, improvised by Daryl to sing them out. I run my thumb over the lines of years on my tree cookie and imagine the skin of those people, their different faces against the army uniforms, like different colors of wood against green. When Mum bought me Crayola multicultural crayons, I use them for my trees. Trees for me are like humans. No two are exactly the same. I must have said that out loud because Daryl comments, even in your tree cookie, there is diversity. What? Different colors. More than nine, I say. And darker in the center, he says. Lunchtime, calls Mum. My lunch is in my locker. I should go. You can stay, really, Daryl. We have peanut butter. Someone said he only eats three foods at lunch, apples, peanut butter, and white bread. I only like squirrel crunchy, Daryl says. Not smooth or skippy or no name. No jam, no butter, no margarine, no honey. White bread with no crusts, no bran, and definitely no seeds. And only Granny Smith apples. Oh. Besides, I better see what's going on at school. Enjoy your tree cookie. Yeah, 61 rings. 59, count again. I'll tell the office you'll be back for science. And I am. But I don't bring the tree cookie. I don't sand it either because the rips of wood and bark are part of the sacrifice. I prop it on my inspiration shelf to help me draw her, the grandmother spruce, over and over again. Daryl's song sticks in my head, and every time he sees me in the hall, he looks down without smiling or saying hi, but whistles a bit from tree day. And without stopping or looking at him, I always whistle back. I whistle nine notes.